It's good to see everyone out this evening. We've got a really good number. Talking with Gary, it's good to have him visiting with us again this evening. He mentioned to me that his mother passed away. We need to keep him and his family in prayers as they sorrow their loss. We need to be praying for everybody. Everybody's got something going on in their lives. We need to be praying for everybody. We're going to continue this evening looking at learning some important verses in the Bible. One other thing before we get into the lesson. So it's hard when you speak all the time to know how to start, what to say when there are visitors here. And I'm going to try, just so the congregation knows, when we have visitors that are here for the first time, to say something. If they haven't visited a Church of Christ before, of what to expect, what we do, what we don't do, why they don't see a piano up here, why we don't have a kitchen, why we don't do this and that, just in a real brief form, because some people aren't aware of what the Lord's church is like as we read about in the Bible. I had had something like that before and I was looking for it, and I came across this other introduction that I had used once or twice as an icebreaker on people. And there's this, it's totally different than the other introduction, but there's this young preacher that was learning how to preach, and he went around and he'd listen to the old preachers to see how to start a sermon. And he listened to this one old preacher, and the preacher got up and he said, "Some of the most memorable moments that I've spent in my life have been in the arms of another man's wife." And you can just imagine everybody's mouth dropping open and their eyes getting really big. And he said, "And that man's wife was my mother." So the young preacher, he thought, that'll be really good. I'll use that and get people's attention. So he tries that the next time he preaches, and he gets up and he says, "Some of the most memorable moments that I've ever had, I've spent in the arms of another man's wife." And the same thing happened. He saw everybody's mouth drop open and their eyes get really big, and he was flustered and he kept looking and he said, "And for the life of me, I can't remember her name." And you just don't know what you say, how it's going to come across, or how people are going to take it, or what they remember. But it's good to see everybody here. One of the other things I want to mention to be praying for, as we've been putting things on the community page, and this is a flyer that I put on there, and I posted it down at the grocery store. I want to understand the Bible better, schedule a Bible study, make 2021 better than 2020. This has gone to over 1,300 people so far, so we need to be praying that people are interested and contacted so we can set up some studies to study God's Word with them more. So we've been looking at learning God's Word, and as we start the new year, to learn it, to put it in our minds, to memorize it so we have it on our heart. We started looking at the four corners of God's Word, and several weeks ago I handed out this sheet, but the four corners of God's Word, those four verses, you can tell somebody the whole story of what the Bible is about. Genesis 1:1, John 1:1, John 1:14, John 3:16. Last week, we looked at the Roman road to salvation. Five passages in Romans that you can take and share the gospel story with somebody. Those are important verses. We need to learn them. We're going to learn them. We're going to learn them this year. And this evening, instead of adding some more verses, and I have more verses to hand out next week, but I want us to just go over some of the reasons why it is important to lay up His words in your heart. That phrase comes from Job 22:22. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. So this evening, we're just going to talk for a few minutes about the importance of learning God's word, understanding it, and getting it off of these pages and getting it into our heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." The point of this is really simple. Our thoughts are the most important thing about us. All that we achieve or fail to achieve is a direct result of our thinking. Our thoughts are like seeds that produce crops. Good thoughts are not going to produce bad actions. Bad thoughts are not going to produce good actions. What does this mean? This means if you plant a tomato seed, you're going to get a tomato. You plant a watermelon seed, you're going to get a watermelon. It's a universal law of sowing and reaping. That means, too, with our thinking, with our spiritual life, if we plant thistles, we're going to get thistles. We're going to have thistles in our life. Men understand this in the natural world and work with it, but so many people fail to make the connection with our spiritual life, with our moral world. And with our moral life, our spiritual life, these laws are just as predictable. We plant the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to get the fruit of the Spirit. What we think in our lives is the direction that our life is going to go in. If we think angry thoughts, we're going to be angry. If we think positive thoughts, we're going to be positive. So the mind is like a garden, and we have to cultivate it, and we are responsible for the kind of seed that we sow in our garden. Sometimes we talk about the furrows of our mind, and I thought there may be some people here that don't understand what that is, but you see on the slide on the upper left-hand corner, a furrow would be this area where the seed is sown. It's not sown on top. You have an area that you want to plant that seed down in the furrow for it to germinate, for it to take root and to grow. And if we take this seed and we just try to plant it on top, and we don't get it down into our heart, what's it going to do? Nothing. Nothing. Like we read about in the parable of the sower, the birds are going to come along and pick it up and eat it and take it away, and it's not going to have deep root. We need to get God's word down into our heart. We have to cultivate our mind. If we don't cultivate our mind, you think about a garden. You have a garden at home. You don't cultivate that garden, you know what? Something's still going to grow in it. What's going to grow in it? Weeds. Weeds are going to grow. Our mind is that way. We have to cultivate it to plant the good in it. If we don't cultivate it, there's still going to be something growing in it, but it's going to be weeds. There's a lot of books on the market about positive thinking, having a good life. And you know what the problem is with so many of those books? They leave God out of the picture. It's all about you can do this yourself. Whatever you think you can achieve. Well, you talk to the people that tried to build the Tower of Babel, and how did that work for them? It didn't. They left God out of the picture. We've got to include God in the picture. And if we want something positive to think about this year, we need truth. We need truth behind hope and optimism. We need solid scripture. We need verses. We need memory verses. Where? From the infallible word of God. And I believe the Bible is inspired and unfailing. It's the message of God, who is both all-knowing and he's all-powerful. So why would we want to waste our time reading those other books? Now, we can learn from those other books. I love books. When we were gone for a couple of days, what did I bring home? I brought home more books. But we need to learn God's Word. We need to get it down in the furrows of our mind. The Bible verbalizes, stop and think about this, the Bible verbalizes God's revealed intelligence. What does God think? What is His mind like? When we study His Word, we can know. We should know how we should think, how we should feel, how we should act, how we should speak. Why? Because God has revealed that to us. Friend, every verse in the Bible is priceless. It's priceless. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And Matthew 4:4, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we don't want to go too long without the bread of man. We'll eat all day long. We love that bread. How much do we love the bread of God? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Over the recent years, we have lost the practice of committing verses to memory. And as I said, as we go through this, with these handouts for you to use during the week, and we'll spend, just like we did last Wednesday night, a couple minutes just asking questions and helping to get that in our mind, It will help us. You may not necessarily know word for word in a certain translation, but you'll know what it means, where to find it, and how to share it with somebody else. So going back to the garden analogy, we need to drop the seeds of specific scriptures into the furrows of our mind and into the minds of others. And that's why we'll have these in groups. Memorizing scripture is a way of digging down into our soul and planting the truth a little bit deeper. We can read a verse, we can read it, and there is value in that. But we've got to plant it in our garden. We've got to dig down, and one of the ways that we do that is by memorizing it, meditating on it, going over and over in our mind. And it's a lost habit. It's a lost habit. We can say, well, I think there's something in the Bible that says something sort of like this or like that. Or I remember a preacher saying one time, I remember he said this. Friends, we've got to know where it is in God's Word. If we don't, we're lost. It's like an explorer that goes out and he doesn't have a compass. Which direction is he going to go? He's going to go any way he thinks about going. So we want to start the new year understanding what memorizing scripture can do for us and how we can develop a routine to help us with that. You think, I just can't do it? Just think if you learn one more verse. It might be a verse that saves your soul. You learn one more verse. It might be a verse that helps you save somebody else. We can do it. Do you think you can't remember scripture? Think about this. Can you remember your mother's name? Can you remember your father's name? Your brother's names? Your sister's name? Your grandparents' names? Your cousins' names? Can you remember their names? Can you remember all kinds of things about them? I can tell you all kinds of things about my brothers. I can tell you all kinds of things about some of their cars that they had. I can remember that. And you know why? Part of it is because there is an emotional involvement, an emotional connection. Now, every so often, I use some of my dad's letters as an example. And if you read them, they would not mean much to you. They probably wouldn't mean anything at all to you. And you know why? because there's no emotional connection to you and my Father. You could even read them, and you could even memorize them. What good would it do? It wouldn't do much good because there's no emotional connection with my Father. But if I read them, and if I was not moved by them, you would say there's something that's wrong with me. And you would be right, because there is a connection between me and my earthly Father. And friends, for us to be children of God, there's got to be an emotional connection between us and our Heavenly Father. We have a Father that desires to have a relationship with us. He wants us to understand Him. He revealed Himself to us. He wants us to take His words and do what with it? Write it on our heart. More importantly, He wants us to understand His heart. He wants our heart and His heart to beat as one. And He went to great lengths to reveal that to us through a number of different men over hundreds and hundreds of years, and ultimately by sending His Son to live in the flesh as a man and to die for us. And why is that? Just so we can say, oh yeah, I know, I think He said something in that book about this or that. It's really not important. No, friends, it is important. And friends, our hearts are not going to beat as Christ's hearts unless we dig down into our garden of the mind and plant His seed, the Word of God. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. See, the Lord desired to have this relationship with Israel. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in, and you know the answers, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, what's different about this new covenant? It's not going to be written on tables of stone like the old law. It's going to be in here. It's going to be written in our minds and on our hearts so that God can have that covenant relationship with us. Isaiah 28:13, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You think of that with the Word of God. You think about a painting. You take one brush stroke. What's one brush stroke mean? Not much. You take another one. You add to it. A little bit more. Precept upon precept. A line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You take all of those brush strokes and you add them together and you have this beautiful masterpiece. Friends, that's what God's Word is. We take a verse, we take another verse, we add them together, we have this beautiful masterpiece. And if we are going to commit passages to memory, we must commit. It should be a part of our daily routine. We need to take it a step further. I'll just be honest. All of us do. And I'm not saying this to be negative or ugly toward anybody. It's just we're a year older in Christ. We're closer to going to meet our reward, whatever our reward may be. And learning more of God's Word is going to be one of those things that gives us a safeguard. And as I said, the whole reason behind this series, there is so much negative. There's so much negative news out there We can be so distracted and pulled off in the wrong direction by that, or we can focus on God's Word, and instead of just cut off your news time by 5, 10, 15 minutes a day and pick up the verses and go over them. Just go over them. Meditate on them. Wonder why God said that. What did He mean by that? How can that help me? And I guarantee you, your life will be better for it. But what do? We fall back into our old habits. We must commit to it. And don't be content with listening to somebody else read God's Word. And is that good? It's good. And I like doing that too. I've got all kinds of devices of things. If I'm in my truck to listen to God's Word, I have something that is really helpful. It's a DVD with the Alexander Scorby King James, and there's all kinds of programs, but you can pick and find any chapter, any book, and then listen to him read it, and all those words that you don't know how to pronounce, that it takes you 5 minutes to get through two verses, he just reads it right through. And it's good to listen to things like that. But what's more important is for us personally to read it. To read it ourselves. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to plant it in the furrows of our mind. We need to go over it day and night. And then we also, it's important to take that word and share it with somebody. Because it's not going to do us, well, it will do us some good just to learn it. It will do us more good when we share it with somebody else. And then two, just to help us learn the verses, I will try to work those into some sermons just to keep them fresh on our mind. Another great thing about memorizing Scripture, you know, again, we can just learn it a verse at a time, a verse at a time, and it will add up. Job 22:22 again, receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Some people question the value of rote memory. And I'll admit that just memorizing words for the sake of memorizing words, there is some value to that. When I was in high school, we had an exercise in one of the English classes where we had to memorize talk for about 15 minutes, something from literature. So if you want to know the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, after you listen to me for about the first 5 minutes, you'll say, please stop. But I memorized it, and it's in my head. And what value is that to me today? Not much, other than when I'd memorize it to my kids, they'd say, stop. You just think about when we memorize God's Word. Think about the power in memorizing God's Word. It'll change our life. It'll change the lives of our family. It'll change the lives of our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends. Friends, it will change our life. It will change our life for good. That's the power of memorizing, not the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, but the most powerful words that exist, the Word of God. And remember the power of God's Word when He created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it into existence. There is power in His Word. Power, energy, always goes from a higher source to a lower source. The electrical transformers out there, the power goes from the street, a higher source. Down here, the power is in this building. The power of God's Word goes from God through the Holy Spirit down into His Word, down into our minds. And there is power to change us, to transform us. And when we memorize a word, a phrase, a line, or verse from God's Word, it's like taking a radioactive speck of God and putting it in our hearts, in our minds. There's power in that. There's power in that. As we review it, as we hear it over and over, it sinks deeper into our hearts. And as we learn it by heart, we get that seed down in the furrows of our mind. And it's going to change our mind. And is that important? What did Paul say in Romans 12, 2? That we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our minds? It's by God's word. And that's why the Lord commands us in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 and verse 3, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart." We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and they were to take God's word, teach it to their children when they would lie down, when they would rise up, write them on different places so God's word would always be in front of them. Why? Just for decoration? No. Because it is the most powerful words that exist. And that's why we're promised in Psalm 1 that as we internalize God's word and mull over it day and night, we'll be successful converting His word into our life. And when we learn His word, Christ will begin to transform our minds and to cultivate holiness and happiness. And why are there so many people that aren't happy in the world? Why are they searching for something? Why are they dissatisfied with what they have? Why are they trying one thing after another? Because they don't have God's word in their heart. God's word will satisfy us. God's word will give us contentment. God's word will help us to make it home to heaven. You think about our minds. You know, there have been different ways of describing it. I can't do its justice. But you think of all of God's creation, our soul has to be part of the top of His creation. Our minds are a supercomputer. You take all the computers in the world, all the cell phones, all the tablets, all the desktops, you put them all together, they aren't as powerful as the mind that God gave to man. All of the circuits that are in our mind, all the complexity of our mind, billions of neurons, each one of them is more complex than a small computer. Why did God give us that? Did He give us that just so we can, you know, take a fork and put food in our mouth and do this and watch TV? Or did He give us this supercomputer so that we can take His word and put it into our lives? And remember, as we started looking at the characters in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And why did He create man? We go to Revelation chapter 4, and it's He created us to bring honor and glory to Him. That's the purpose for our existence. People say, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do? Friends, our purpose is to bring glory and honor to God. We can't do that if we don't know His word. Back to what I said at the beginning about our thoughts. And good thoughts produce good actions. Bad thoughts produce bad actions. And something that someone has said, I hadn't heard this before, but I came across it in this study. Our thoughts get us into more trouble than a sack full of demons. And I thought that was an interesting way of saying it. You know, I've heard a sack full of snakes, something more dangerous than a sack full of snakes. But you think about a sack full of demons. And our thoughts can get us into more trouble than a sack full of demons. You take those thoughts, those demons, you plant them in your mind. What are they going to do? They're going to go wild. They're going to grow wild. We've got to get them out of there. We've got to develop a healthy mind. And one of the tools to help us do that is what? It's memorizing God's word. It's writing it on our heart. It's getting it in the furrows of our mind. It's one stroke, one brush stroke on top of another. It's not writing it on a stone. It's not writing it on having a painting to hang on our wall where it looks real pretty. It's not having a little monument to stick out in our yard that says, "I love Jesus." It's writing it on our heart, writing it on our heart, because God's word will change us. We studied a couple weeks ago Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 7 through 9. Bible verses convert the soul. They teach the simple. They rejoice the heart. They enlighten the eyes. That's not going to happen without God's word. They teach, they reprove, they correct, they instruct. They make us profitable in every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. They fill our minds with the kinds of realities that produce a prosperous spiritual life. A spiritual life. And that's what we want. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this phrase, day and night, it was a Hebrew expression talking about repetition over and over and over. And we see that in Psalm 1 that we look at quite often. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. That's repetitive over and over and over. I'm not going to go home and read my Bible tonight and then close it the rest of the week. I'm going to do it every day over and over and over. And if I do that, what does he say is going to happen? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That tree that's planted there, it's got a firm foundation. It's got a source to be fed. That river is going to feed us. We get fed by the living water. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. That's what God's word is going to do for us. That's what learning God's word is going to do for us. Memorizing it. We've looked at Psalm 119 on Wednesday evening. Bible verses are our counselors, our delight. Ready to revive us when we're fainting. Guide us when we're confused. Strengthen us when we're weak. Verses 24 through 28 of Psalm 119. I know you remember this when we looked at Psalm 119. How many benefits were there from reading God's word? 22. 22 benefits. Again, it paralleled the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119, 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Psalm 119, 54. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Just think about that. God's word are our songs for this journey. Do you ever go for a ride somewhere and you like to sing while you're going? How much more should God's words be our song as we travel through this life? They are our most valuable asset. Psalm 119:72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And again, Psalm 19, they're more to be desired than gold, yea, much fine gold and sweeter than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. God's word is so precious. And friends, when we read and study God's word, we're cultivating a relationship with God. We build that emotional connection. And we don't if we just read through it real fast. But when we read it, when we study it, when we meditate on it, we are learning about our Father, our Father that loved us and wants the best for us. He wants us to live with Him. He's told us what we need to do. But if we don't get that in our heart, it's just going to be, you know, hit us on the top and it's gone. So when we read and study God's Word, we're cultivating a relationship with Him. We're listening to Him. When we read the Bible, it was written to men, but we need to remember it was written to us also. And that's why I say so many times we need to put ourselves in the Scriptures. He is writing this. He wrote this to David, what I've got my finger on right here. It applies to every one of us. And we need to remember that. And memorizing Scripture, it's a habit that we need. And to compare it to something crude, when we memorize Scripture, it's like chewing on God's Word. We like to chew on it. We use that phrase every so often. You know, if you get, some people love steak. I've never seen a person that loves steak take a bite of steak and just swallow it. I've never seen that. What do? They like to chew on it. They like to get that flavor. They like to get that juice going. They like to chew on it. That's what we need to do with God's Word. We need to chew on it. We need to think about it. See that flavor. Get that going. We need to do that with specific Bible verses. Those are seeds that produce a crop. They'll germinate in our life, and they'll start and they'll change our life. And by memorizing verses in these lessons that we're going to, and again, you may not know them word by word, but just the practice of us going over them, they're going to sink down into your mind. And I think that was one of the reasons David brought this up in the business meeting to start something like this, because where we visited the first time we were there, and somebody was saying, you know, I didn't think I was going to learn anything, but I'm surprised how much I've learned just by going over this. And we will. And when we memorize Scripture, it's going to give us clearer thoughts. Because when we go out into the world and we hear this and we hear that and somebody's telling us this and they're lying to us about this and we can't trust them on that, we're going to have clearer thoughts because we know what God says about a matter. We're going to have steadier nerves. We're going to have steadier nerves because we know a lot of that stuff out there is just babble. It's just Satan trying to distract us. We're going to have healthier emotions when we study God's words. We aren't going to get as upset about things as before because we know God is in control. God has a plan for us. God has a plan. If God has the very hairs of our head numbered, if He knows the 7 billion of us that are alive right now by name and how many hairs we have, He's got a plan for us. We just need to read His Word and learn that plan. His Word's going to give us purer habits, happier homes. It's going to give us greater appreciation for things. And it's going to give us eternal optimism. We don't have to wake up tomorrow feeling doom and gloom. When this short life is over, we've got a reward waiting for us. We've got a reward waiting for us. Friends, isn't that worth 5, 10, 15 minutes of your time each day? Can you find a few minutes to spend taking God's Word and getting it down into our minds? Are you ready to memorize more of the Bible this year? Are you ready to have your mind as a defense against the things of this world? Friends, God has blessed us so richly. He's not left us to wonder anything at all about Him. He's revealed everything that we need to know. He's revealed to us what we need to do to be pleasing to Him, how to have a happy life. The only thing He doesn't do is force us to do it. It's a choice. And the choice is yours tonight. If you want to accept God and obey His Word, or if you want to reject it. Friends, we pray that you will want to accept God's word. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.